The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Continuing on this theme of the karmic stream and the dharmic stream, the karmic stream, the karmic momentum of our lives and how karma is shaped, how action shapes our ongoing experience. I keep wanting to refer you back to how you can know this for yourself directly, so it's not a metaphysical idea or abstract idea about imaginary futures or pasts, that you can actually watch it work in your mind, in your body, here and now, if we pay careful attention. And it's one of the primary principles of that often comes along with this karma teachings, teachings about action, actions that have ongoing repercussions in our lives, that actions which condition us or influence us ongoingly in a way sometimes that we don't understand why we're so compelled to act and be certain ways. The way that our actions condition us, influence us, or has lays traces within us, imprints things within us, is based on a very simple principle that in order to make this very simple, I'll do it in two steps. The first step is it's based on the notion that we can know what brings with it an ouch and what brings with it an ah. And I use those little expressions so that we don't get narrowed down by words that might express that. So, for example, we have the idea of good karma and bad karma. And as soon as we say it that way, which is a common enough expression, it narrows it, it can be confusing, it can be imply morality, all kinds of things are kind of come along with that. But maybe it's very simple just to recognize experientially that some things we do as we do them, as part of it, is ouch. And some things we do has an ah. And so that's the first principle. The second one is that those things which are propelled by or conditioned by or come along with an ouch, they tend to produce more ouches. Those things which are compelled by or pushed along by an ah, they are they produce more of the same. Ah. This is not the same thing as comfort and discomfort, but something deeper, a sense of the Buddhists like to call suffering or happiness. But the key thing is here is that what propels it? What is the motivating force? What's the atmosphere or the condition which something is done? If we say something, do something, or even think something, and what's propelling it is some feeling inside, some motivation inside, something inside, which in and of itself just feels like if you're really careful and pay attention to it, we feel, oh, that hurts, that's ouch. Or we can feel that's good, ah, that feels right. And so karma is, when things are acted on from that kind of compulsion or propulsion, then they tend to produce more. And you can watch that in your mind with your thoughts. If there are thoughts that are being propelled by our anger and our hostility or our attachment or our greed, that if that's kind of the propulsion of it, then a thought of greed, a thought of anger, tends to produce more of the same. Not necessarily more anger or more greed, but it kind of that. The very movement of anger and greed is another ouch. So if what propels it is an ouch, then the thing itself is an ouch, And it creates kind of more propulsions, more influence, more conditionality for further thinking that way. So if, for example, there is greed for something because there is a feeling of feeling somehow very critical of oneself, and someone wants relief, well, the movement for relief through greed is being propelled by an ouch, that criticism of oneself. The greed itself is an ouch, and that whole movement then brings along more criticism of self, like now I'm greedy and I'm bad, or creates more conditions to be more greedy or think that's the answer, or if there is a little bit relief from the greed because it's fulfilled, we get what we want, then that reinforces that this is the way out to get more relief, and so we end up in a cycle. And classically they say that what creates the momentum of karma, the karmic repercussions, is the intention for what we do. But I think that it's not just intention, it's what propels it, it's more than that. Intention seems kind of narrow and almost philosophical, or like an agenda or a very clear idea. It's more like the mood behind it or the that's there. So in mindfulness practice, one of the things we do with our thoughts, for example, when there's a lot of intense thoughts, is that we're caught in them, is to notice the emotionality, the mood, the conditions that out of which the thoughts are being coming. And we're getting more and more, as we develop mindfulness, we start seeing that underlying the surface expressions of our thoughts, the thoughts we can see or the actions we can see, there's layers and layers of conditioning, of attachments, of clinging, of motivations that are really the real issue, the real thing that shapes and influences karmic stream. Now, some of this karmic stream can be positive. It can have awe in it. But it still involves a kind of a propulsion, a kind of movement that keeps us active. It kind of promotes a kind of agitation. Even though it can do a lot of good for ourselves and the world, when there's a propulsion, a compulsion to do these things, there's this, it might feel pleasant, but there's a kind of agitation there. It's not ultimately the best for us. And so there's a whole other line we can take, which is a dharmic stream. And the positive, karmic stream supports the dharmic stream. It creates the conditions that leads us to being a good place to enter this dharmic stream. The dharmic stream is found through two primary ways that we enter into it. One is to let go, and the other is to know. So to let go and to know. And these are kind of the core practices of the Buddha can be put in these two categories. Some of them are more focused on deep letting go and relaxation, and some of them focus more on knowing. The ones that have to do with letting go are the ones that tend to produce the most happiness. The ones that have to do with knowing produces the most clarity. But this happiness and this clarity is not something we're willing, intending. It's not something that we're creating. It's not coming from a constructed action that what we're doing. It's not part of the karmic stream. It's almost like we're getting out of the way. We're not interfering, we're not pushing, there's no compulsion to act and to do. And so letting go is a lot to do about getting out of the way and allowing something to move through us. Not a compulsion, but an inspiration. We're not pushing something, but something is flowing rather than pushing. And then we're not caught up in our agendas and reactivities and what we want to have and looking for and trying to understand the way forward to fix things. We're just knowing in a very simple way. And that produces clarity. And clarity also has space for things. And so the dharmic stream involves a kind of a whole paradigm shift, change, about how we live our lives, or what motivates our lives, or where the center of our lives is. It is not a life that's based on the wanting that characterizes somehow, one way or the other, the karmic stream, including wanting what's good, wanting the ah. And it might seem like, why not want what's good and healthy? Sure, it's fine to do it, and it can be very beneficial, but it's only half the picture. It's only half the story of what's possible for us. And most people only live in the karmic world, and that's what they're navigating and negotiating and always moving around. And it's a little bit like rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic. The Dharma stream involves a whole different paradigm, and it's like learning to swim, so we don't have to move all the deck chairs around as the ship goes down. And they said, and how we float, how we swim, is we learn how to let go of reactivity, let go of clinging and wanting and this compulsion of the karmic stream. And we learn a kind of very clear and simple knowing that brings clarity. A clarity that is not agitated by the wanting mind. And in that letting go and clarity and getting out of the way, something supports us, something begins moving through us, something gets awakened that there is wisdom, clarity and letting go makes available a lot of wisdom and clarity about what's happening here with ourselves and the world around us. It gives room in the heart for love and care and compassion in a way. It's a very different feeling for it than any kind of compassion that's maybe genuine enough but has wanting as part of it, or has self and self-concern as part of it. Clarity and letting go is radically selfless. And because of that, it's not exhausting, it's not tiring in the way that the karmic stream is, when much of it is motivated by me, myself, and mine. So you might see today as you go about the day what's going on with your thought stream. And is there an ouch or an ah in how you think? And if you notice an ouch, look more deeply and see if there's a deeper mood or place that those thoughts are coming out of, and see if that also has an ouch. Probably it will. And if there's an ah in those thought streams, then look below that and see if there's some deeper mood or way of being that also feels like comes from an ah. Stay close to the ah and see if that staying close to it supports you to let go, relax, and to know clearly what's here. So, thank you, and I hope this little exercise today is nice for you to do.